chapter number 11. I believe I can say that this will be a little bit shorter of a message tonight, so don't get your hopes up, all right? When I say that, it seems to turn out wrong. Deuteronomy, I'm in Numbers, that's not going to work out. Deuteronomy, chapter number 11, please stand with me once you've found that. Deuteronomy 11, look here, beginning in verse number 28. Verse number 28 says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known." Now, we understand, of course, this is written, given to the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy is a book where we go through Genesis, the Genesis of the book of beginnings, Exodus, of course, the exit out of the land of Egypt and in toward the promised land. Leviticus is a book that deals with the law being given to the tribe of Levi. Numbers is a book that has to do with the numbering of the children of Israel, the tribes of Israel. Deuteronomy is really the law being given a second time, and we can find that the commandments, the Ten Commandments, given a second time here. And so we begin to recognize that God is trying to get a hold of the hearts of the children of Israel. But since we are born again, those who know Christ as their Savior, the New Testament teaches us that we've been grafted into that branch. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I thank the Lord that not that the Jews crucified Christ, however he did have to be crucified. I'm glad that he was for my sake, for our benefit. But because of that, now, praise the Lord, I can become part of the inheritance that God has for the children of Israel. So even though this is directly written to the children of Israel, I am grateful that we can look at it and we can realize that we can have blessings from God. But we also understand that if we decide we're not going to follow suit, we're not going to follow Scripture, we're going to do things our own way, then the blessings will not fall upon us, and we see the ramifications of that. Tonight I want to preach a simple message, how to receive God's promises. How to receive His promises. There are many promises in the Bible. We're going to talk about that briefly. But how can we receive His promises tonight? Let's have a word of prayer to Heavenly Father. Tonight, Lord, we do look to You. We ask that You would be with us as we look to Scripture. Lord, I pray that You would help us to see the promises that You have for us. There is no way, Lord, that in one service we could encompass all of the promises that You've given. But Lord, I pray that You would help us to begin to realize that those promises that we see in the Bible, we can have them for us. We can receive them, Lord. And I pray that we would be willing to do things Your way. Bless our time tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have you be seated tonight. Some tonight, I guess, could say that they see this as a threat from a bully, if you will. The threat that, well, you better do things my way. If you do, it's going to go good for you. And if not, then there's going to be a curse that'll fall upon you. But it's really more of a promise. In fact, it's truly a promise that God has given to us. He doesn't make threats. He makes promises. And praise the Lord, God keeps His promises. When He gives a promise, it's not like a promise that I give. I've made promises before that unfortunately I've forgotten. I made promises before that unfortunately I couldn't follow through. I want to minimize those. I don't like making promises that I can't keep. I don't like making promises that I forget about. But unfortunately, I do. God certainly never does. God makes promises and He keeps them. And I'm grateful for that. God makes many promises throughout the Bible. And He wants to fulfill every last one of them in our lives. That's His desire. He wants to fulfill them. Two different types of promises we see in Scripture. We find those that are conditional. The one that I always use is out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You're probably familiar with it, where it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." It's a promise from God. He will hear from heaven. He will forgive the sin. And He will heal the land. But it's a conditional promise because He said, "I've set forth these conditions. I want those who are called by my name, I want them to humble themselves, to seek my face, to turn from their wicked ways. So God says, I've got a promise, but yet it's conditional. There are other promises in Scripture which are unconditional. The one that I always talk about is found in the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's a promise of God. God gives us His comfort to those who don't know Christ as their Savior. God gives them comfort. I've said before, we live in a world, the atheist may decide that they don't believe in God. That doesn't minimize the reality of God one bit. The individual may be so angry at God that they want nothing to do with Him. They may say, I know He is real, but I want nothing to do with God. Well, it doesn't matter because God still has something to do with you. He has a part of your life. I had taken some teenagers, Brother Seferati, out in California. I had taken the teenagers out soul winning one Wednesday night, and we went to afterwards. We'd usually go to some fine dining restaurant like Carl's Jr., which is the same thing as Hardee's restaurant, just different name, or the one that we all love, Taco Bell. Amen. And we got finished, and afterwards there was a man that had sat down, and I stepped over and I just gave him one of the invitations, gave him one of the tracts, and I said, listen, we'd like to invite you to church one day. And he looked at me and says, I don't think much of God. And I don't know why, but I just said, well, you know, God thinks a lot of you. And went on my way and stepped outside, and we were trying to get all the teens into the vehicles. There were a couple of vehicles, and he was finished. He put his stuff, and he came out to me and he said, sir, I said, yes. He goes, thank you for saying that. He said, I've never thought about that, but you're right. God does think a lot about me. You know, it doesn't matter whether we want to believe. It doesn't matter whether the atheist wants to believe or not. It doesn't matter whether the person who is angry at God or not. We live in a world that has the presence of the Almighty God. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank God for His comfort when we mourn. Oh, I couldn't imagine what life would be like if we didn't have the comfort of God when we mourn. There will be a day one day if someone has never trusted Christ as their Savior where they will experience that. And they'll have no comfort from God above because they'll be separated from God in a Christless hell. Oh, I don't want anyone to experience that. I wouldn't want anyone to experience what life would be like, what eternity would be like without Christ, without God. So we have unconditional promises. Hebrews 13:5 that we understand where it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's an unconditional promise. God does not put a stipulation upon it prior to it. He says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And I'm grateful for that. Oh, I'm so grateful for the fact that one day when I got saved, I never had to worry about getting saved again. Amen? I never had to worry about losing my salvation. I've looked and I've looked and I've looked and I've looked. I find a very clear definition as to how I can trust Christ as my Savior. How I can be born again. But I don't find anywhere in Scripture that God says, well, here's the line, that if you cross that line, you lost your salvation. I can see the line to which I cross it and I gain salvation. But there is no such line as to when I would lose my salvation. I am thankful for the fact that God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We've got these promises in Scripture. I want us to see how we can receive them. Go over to, in your Bibles, if you would, go to Psalms 119. I apologize. Psalms 119 is such a great psalm. I'm sure you're familiar with it. The longest of the Psalms, 176 verses in total, broken up in groupings of eight, one for every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There is a grouping of eight, an octet of eight verses. And in the Hebrew, every one of these verses in that underneath of that particular character begins with that Hebrew character. Now, I don't read Hebrew. Praise the Lord. We've got a King James Bible. Amen. Amen. Our King James Bible is not, our words are not such that it could follow suit and each verse have the same beginning letter, but yet we see so many things here. I want you to go to verse number 32 there in Psalm 119. Verse number 32 says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Amen. If we're going to receive God's promises, I want you to write down, first of all, I must obey God immediately. If I'm going to receive the promises of God, then I must obey God immediately. When He puts something upon my heart, if I want to receive all of the blessing that God has for my life, when He puts something upon my heart, I must obey immediately. Where it says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Oh, God, put something upon your heart. Don't debate about it. I know we're all the same. I know we all labor. And maybe we say, well, let me spend some time in prayer about it. And I'm grateful for prayer. But when God finally convinces you and you've spent that time in prayer and now you know that this is God's will for your life, oh, don't drag your feet about it. Just be willing to obey God immediately. We look there in Psalm 119. Go to verse number 60. In verse number 60, it says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Oh, that we would realize that God has a desire for my life. Once I know what it is, once it's clear in my mind, I don't want to drag my feet any longer. And I've done my share of dragging my feet, I promise you that. Man, when I was in college, I was career oriented. I couldn't wait to graduate with a degree in computer programming. And boy, I was headlong in that. And my brother, just older than me, he had decided he had surrendered to the full time service of the Lord. My oldest brother was a preacher at this time. My brother, just older than me, he went to Bible college. He and I drove all the way from that little town in Holly, Colorado, all the way out to Seattle, Washington. And he enrolled in Open Door Bible Baptist College, He was out there for a year or so before he moved down here and finished out his Bible degree in Jacksonville. But I remember we went up there and we drove all the way. The only time I've been through Idaho and any of those up through the Snoqualmie Pass and all that. And we got up to Seattle. Never been to Seattle before. Unbelievably green. Unbelievably dreary. I don't know. How many have been to Seattle before? Man, it's kind of always seems to have an overcast. You know, that's what keeps it nice and green. And I remember those days. I remember when the very last day that I was there in the room of the family that he was going to stay with. And oh, we cried and cried. Man, we had never been separated. He and I were very close after my dad had died. He and I got very close. We farmed the farm together. And now he was going to be a preacher. And I know now, looking back, that God was working on my heart at the same time to surrender to the ministry. Amen. But I was already in college. I was already had a mindset that I'm going to be a computer programmer and I'm not going to be a preacher. To be honest, I think I was really scared that I was just following my brothers. My oldest brother's a preacher. My other brother's going to the Bible college, maybe I should go too. And that was really a fear for me. I didn't want to surrender just because my brothers did. Oh, and I realize now, looking back, that I drug my feet for many, many years. In fact, then finally my wife and I were married. God got all over my heart. I finally said, fine, I'm done. I'll surrender to the ministry. I'll surrender to the full-time service. And so for all these many years, I was working just as a layman in the church, full-time in the ministry, full-time as working in the computer field. And God got all over my heart again to pastor. I was like, I don't think that's what you want, Lord. Once I was convinced, the next day I wasn't. Then the next day I was, then the next day I wasn't. And finally I won. God didn't want me to be a pastor, and so I drug my feet longer until finally God knocked me upside the head. I talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. God finally got a hold of me. I mean, He clubbed me upside the head one Sunday evening. It was so clear as a bell. My head rung for days after that because I realized, all right, Lord, You want me to be a pastor, and I don't know why, and I don't know where, but I thank the Lord that finally, I realized God's will. Oh, I would to God that I could go back and say more immediate than that, I followed His will. But other areas in your life, when God starts speaking to you, how quickly do you follow? How quickly do you obey God's call? I think of individuals that we could look at in the Scripture. Jonah versus Samuel. Samuel, as a young boy, as he hears the calling of God, Samuel goes to Eli those three times, and finally Eli says, listen, next time you hear someone call your name, it's going to be the voice of God, and answer him and say, speak, for thy servant heareth. And he did. And boy, God used Samuel. And you put that up against Jonah, that Jonah knew very clear that it was God's will. It was very clear that it was God's voice. I want you to go to Nineveh. And boy, Jonah ran, turned tail, and ran the other way. Oh, that we would obey God's call immediately. The second thing I want us to see is in Psalm 119, look at verse number 4. In verse number 4, it says, Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. If you'll write down this, number 2, obey God completely. First of all, obey God immediately. Don't hesitate. Oh, when the Lord speaks to you about something, I preach oftentimes about music, the music of the world, the contemporary Christian music. I don't know what kind of music you may listen to, but I promise you one thing, in the contemporary Christian music of the day, the music that you find on the majority of Christian music or Christian radio stations is certainly not godly. It's got such an unbelievable slant toward the world. It has an unbelievable, it appeals to the flesh. That's what music does. That's what worldly music does. It appeals to the flesh. And when God convinces you of that, obey Him immediately and obey Him completely. Oh, obey Him completely. Decide, I'm going to change. There are enough good places to get music that you can listen to. We've got some in our bookstore. There are internet broadcasts. And I praise the Lord, there are radio stations around here that will play good, godly music. Man, I come from California. You didn't find any out there. There wasn't a Christian radio station worth beans in California. I'm thankful that there are some here. Find you something that you can say, I will follow God completely. Not just immediately, but completely. Partial obedience is disobedience.
That's right.
In Proverbs 3, verse number 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, that we would see that partial obedience. We've looked at it before, the New Testament, where the apostles are out fishing and Jesus calls to them and says, have you caught anything? And they say, no, we've been out here all night. And Jesus says, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And Peter got all upset. Jesus said, cast your nets, on the right side of the boat. And Peter got all upset. We've been out here all night long, and now you're trying to tell us how to fish. Nevertheless, at thy command, I'll follow you. And he cast one net out. The Lord told him to cast nets out, but he only cast one. And he got so many, it nearly capsized the boat. Partial obedience is nothing more than complete disobedience. Let's be willing to obey God completely. When we don't understand all of what we're supposed to do, but we know what God expects, it's always best to obey Him completely.
Yes, sir.
We look at the two individuals in the Bible, Saul versus Abraham. Saul, when he was told and commanded that he was to go out and to take care of the entire city and not hold anything back, but to destroy it all. But yet when he comes and Samuel the preacher says, did you do what God commanded? Yes, I did, absolutely. He said, then what is this bleating of the sheep that I hear and the lowing of the cattle in mine ear? Why, we kept the best back to sacrifice to God, you know. Oh, you compare that to Abraham. Abraham willing to go all the way and say, I'll be willing to sacrifice my son, Isaac. Oh, that we would be willing to obey God completely. And when God gives us, and I understand this morning, even what I said about tithing, listen, I believe in following, obeying God completely, not just partially. I believe that. I believe that. But unfortunately, there are some that won't even obey God one iota. You're not willing to grow to that point. Grow to that point. The third thing is in Psalm 100. Actually, go to verse number 16, Psalm 119. Go to verse number 16. Here where it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Obey God joyfully. How am I going to receive God's promises? Well, I need to obey Him immediately. I need to obey Him completely. But you understand that obedience without joy is really not obedience. Man, we could give so many illustrations. We always turn to Johnny. Johnny, take out the trash. Stomps his feet, takes out the trash, scowling the whole time. And we all laugh at Johnny. But yet when we turn it back to our employer, and our employer tells us to do something, and we do it begrudgingly, we don't want to do it because that's not what we wanted to do, and that's a dumb decision by the management. And management makes dumb decisions, I know. I realize that. But if it's not disobedient to the Word of God, they're going to have to answer to the higher-ups. They have to answer to corporate for it, right? Amen? Well, let's realize that when we look at God, I need to be joyful about what I do. I need to be joyful about my service to the Lord. I was going to have you turn to Psalm 100, but let me read it to you. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Oh, that we would serve in joy. That we would decide, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to have fun doing it. And I'm gonna have a great time doing this. I love being in the ministry. I love it. I love serving the Lord. I love serving the Lord. I know that I'm a pastor, and I know that I get the privilege of being able to serve the Lord 100% full time. And I thank our church. I thank you all for being willing to take me to a point where we could do that. Oh, but listen, there were many years that I served the Lord just as joyfully, and I never worried about whether I was going to be draw a paycheck. Oh, that was for 16 years in California. That was always the desire, that I would be able to be a full-time youth pastor or a full-time assistant pastor. Man, that was really where I wanted to go. And our church never got to that point where our church could afford to do that. And so I'll work another job, and I'll work over here. When the opportunity was given, the company I worked for, we were all laid off. Our department was all laid off. And then they wanted to take two of us back on. And I remember going through that, and I've talked about it here just even recently. And finally got to the point where I went to the CEO of the company, and I said, listen, thank you for the offer of the job that you wanted to give me, but I'm going to do this. I want to work part-time here, and I'm going to work part-time for my church. I'm going to draw a little bit of a salary there. I'm going to draw a little bit of a salary here. Are you fine with that? Boy, the Lord opened all the doors, and I could go through that, and I won't. And it worked out. And one of my close friends that I worked with, a man that wasn't saved, a man that didn't give a testimony salvation at all. He really didn't want me to talk to him about it. He said to me, he said, what you're doing is backwards. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're working a full-time job here at this computer company, and you're working part-time at the church. He said, man, you need to change that. You need to be working full-time at the church over there and maybe part-time here. Man, for an unsaved man to tell you that? Amen. You know how exciting that is, that this guy, man, he gets it. Why can't I get it? Man, why can't I be that smart? And I loved it when he said that to me. Obey God joyfully. Man, let's be joyful about it. I think about, we go back to Jonah again. Jonah, he finally obeyed God. But man, it wasn't very joyful. God angry. Man, could you imagine that? Would you keep me as your pastor if I gave an invitation and somebody got saved? I can't believe that. Man, somebody just got saved. One person walked down to get saved. Oh, I can't believe that. And you would boot me. You better boot me. Amen. Amen. If I ever get upset with someone, you let him. I wanted to lead him to the Lord. You did it first. Oh, yeah, man, just kick me out. And I'll be excited. I can't understand why everyone doesn't get excited when someone comes to Christ. Man, I can go soul winning at sometimes where I promise you I don't want to go soul winning. I don't want to knock on someone's door. I don't want to talk to them about the gospel. That's my nature. But man, when they trust Christ as their Savior, wow! Man, I get excited. I mean it. Man, I walk away, man. My hands are clenched like this. I'm like, let me just get a little bit down the street before I go and give myself a headache. I get so excited about it. Why? Because someone came to Christ. Oh, that we would be joyful about our service to the Lord. Romans 7:22 says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Oh, our inward man should delight in the law of God. 1 John 5, verse number 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Jonah, they were grievous to him. David, oh, David, they weren't grievous to David. Boy, I thank the Lord that we can look at these two individuals and we can watch Jonah and his life and learn from his mistakes. But yet we can look at David and we can see that David joyfully served the Lord. And boy, David, you look at those two. We're not given a whole lot about Jonah. We don't know a great deal about him. We know that he was willing to be cast overboard. We know that for 3 days, 3 nights, he was in the belly of the whale. And God used that to get a hold of him. We know that after he saw Nineveh turn to Christ, turn to the Lord, that he was angry about it. We know that after he was given shade, he was glad. When the shade's taken away, he's all upset again. But we look at David, man. David went through some very difficult days. Well, David turned away from God and realized his sin and turned back to God. God chastened him, and David was humble about it. Oh, that we would see that we can obey God joyfully. The last thing I want us to see, Psalm 119, look at verse number 33. In verse 33, it says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Obey God continually. If I want to receive the promises of God, I need to obey God immediately. I need to obey God completely. I need to obey God joyfully. And I need to obey God continually. And look at verse number 112 there, Psalm 119. Verse number 112 says, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I think of two individuals that we could look at. We look at Demas, as Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and has to pen those words, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I wonder how many individuals Demas got to lead to the Lord. I would say that he probably had the opportunity to lead people to the Lord. Now let me stop right there for just a moment. We look at Demas's life. He walked away from God. He walked away from the ministry. He forsook the Lord, having loved this present world. But as a protege of Paul, I would venture to say that he probably had great opportunity to witness to people and to lead people to the Lord. How many have you led to the Lord? How many have you witnessed to? How many opportunities have you taken to give the gospel? But yet we look at a man who walked away from the Lord. But I have no doubt whatsoever. I personally have no doubt that Demas was used by God for some individuals, and we'll see them in heaven because of Demas.
Amen.
But yet we use him as the example of having walked away from God. We put that against the life of Daniel, being willing to serve God continually. You look at Daniel. Daniel was willing to face the den of lions just because he was told he couldn't pray. Why, he did just like he always did every other day. Went to the window and he opened the shutters and he said, I'm going to pray. It doesn't matter whether you tell me I can or I can't. Oh, that we would see that we can obey God continually. Boy, let's never stop. There are others that we could look at on both sides for serving the Lord continually. We could look at Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence. Oh, he loved for people to look at him. Well, no humility of mind there. Very proud individual we see. We could look at Joseph. We're studying Joseph in our adult Sunday school class. We could look at Joseph and the willingness to obey God continually. Why? Because I want to receive God's promises. And I want those promises. I want to be able to claim them as mine. Well, I want to be able to claim them as mine. How can I? By obedience. You notice every one of these. Obey. 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 A blessing I set before thee today, and a curse. A blessing if you'll obey, and a curse if not. It's not my blessing. It's not my curse. But it is God's. Well, let's receive His blessings tonight. Amen. Let's receive His promises. We'll have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You so much for tonight. I pray, dear God, in this simple message that You would help us to see, Lord, that we need to be willing to obey. Lord, I want our church to see the blessings that can come from You. And Lord, I pray that You would help every one of us to think about, am I doing this? Lord, am I doing it immediately? Lord, have I followed through completely? Have I been joyful about what You've asked me to do? Lord, I would have to ask You to forgive me, Lord, for times that I did what You've told me to do, but I would have to admit that it's not always been joyful. Lord, I pray You would forgive me for that. Lord, I pray You'd help us to see continually. Lord, I can't say that I've done that yet. Well, my life is not over. I beg You, please give me strength every single day to continue to obey You. But Lord, my life is not over yet. And I pray that You would help every one of us to realize, even if I am serving God today, I may not tomorrow. Help us to be resolved to do that. Lord, that when we get to the end of our life, and when we're laying on our deathbed, wherever it may be, we would be able to look back and we'd be able to say, I have served the Lord continually. Oh, that would be my prayer for every one of us. Tonight your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I don't know, perhaps you're already serving the Lord to the best of your ability. Maybe you're already obeying God to the best of your ability. But it might be that the Lord just got all over your heart tonight saying, you're not obeying me in this area. I've already convicted you about this and you've not obeyed. You've already seen in Scripture how what you're doing is not what I've asked. But yet you've been reluctant to obey. Well, could we put that to the side? Could we obey Him immediately tonight? Lord, I pray that You would be with us. I pray You'd help us to make decisions based on the Word of God, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand if you would. The piano will begin playing. Oh, would you come tonight? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. How about you tonight? Has it been immediate? Has it been complete? Has it been joyful? Oh, I pray that we would tonight. You come as she plays.